Blog Talk Radio.
Boss Lady Publishing.
Studio at least three nights this week. I'm just saying, we've been here all week, and now we're here on Monday for a special edition. I'm excited. We're going to have the readers speaking this evening. You know, how they're feeling about literature, the way literature is moving, the way it's going. You know, as an author, I think it's important for us to allow, you know, the people who employ us to, you know, let us know how they feel about the job that we are performing. You know, and in hopes people will learn and grow, you know, get something from, you know, what the readers are saying. And, you know, so we can move and grow within this form of art. How you feel, Aaron?
Exactly. I mean, you got to know what the readers are thinking, what their view is, you know what I mean? It needs to be a better communication form other than, you know, social media typing and things, because sometimes you can't really get your point across right there, you know, like how you need to. So, you know, I think it's good that the readers get to have a voice and, you know, let us know what they feel about, you know, the literature that's being put out there, and the literature they love and the literature that they're reading and everything. That's important for us as authors to know that.
I agree. So I'm excited. We're going to get it going. How you feel tonight, Miss Tony? How was your day?
My day has been a little under the weather, but I'm looking forward to tonight's show.
Okay.
Dedicated to our loyal listening readers,
yes.
Which is, I'm a reader first and foremost, so I'm looking forward to sharing the spotlight with my fellow readers.
Great, that's going to be good.
Indeed.
I'm excited. How's things going on your end, Lisa?
Everything's good. Everything is good. I'm here. I agree with Tony. You know, readers ultimately are the consumers in this particular industry. And, you know, in any other industry, they always have things set up to be able to hear what the consumers are saying and what they're wanting. And it's the same thing, you know. The reader is the consumer. They're going to be able to say what they like, what's working, what's not working. That helps new readers, first of all, because they get a little insight on maybe different books that they might talk about that they like from reading. That gives publishers insight on how to market the book. You know, that gives the author themselves insight on different things they're putting in the book or how they're marketing the book and pushing their pen. So it all benefits. Everything benefits all the way around. So I think this is a very good thing.
Aaron, how are you feeling over there?
I'm great. I'm excited about tonight's show. I'm waiting to get the readers on so we could definitely hear what they got to say, you know, talk with them for a little while, answer any questions they may have of us. You know, just being able to communicate with the readers.
There's a lot of different, you know, types of readers, different styles of reader, you know, and each reader has, you know, what they enjoy about, you know, the literature, you know. Some people, uh-huh. they sucked in by the synopsis. Some people, you know, they sucked in by the cover or the title or, you know, the basic description and different things like that. So we, you know, we want to hear how they feel about, you know, different areas of the art.
And I hope, like myself, through this writing royalty platform and all the various authors that we've brought on the show with the different genres, I hope that our listeners and our readers have opened up their library the same as I have. You know, it's just you don't want to get stuck in one genre.
Mm-hmm.
And since we've had so many great authors on the show, I'm hoping that the listeners and the readers are benefiting as much as I am.
Yes, I know.
I totally agree with that, too, because, you know, you have a reader, but then you have readers. Then it's, you know, mm-hmm. where they enjoy reading. And sometimes you, like I said, I like street lit. I don't too much dibble and dabble in other genres unless I really, really got good confirmation from someone that the book is really, really good. But it's good to push yourself because you never know what you're going to like. It's like going to the ice cream store. You know, they might not have your favorite flavor, but they have another flavor. You'll never know what else you like unless you try it. You got to try it. You got to sample it. You may find that, oh, I may not like everything in this genre, but I have a new author, a new favorite author that I like. I like the way they write. I like the way their pen, you know, they put their ideas out. I like the way they structure their books. So you never know. It doesn't have to mean that you're going to go to that particular genre. It could just mean that it's a new author that you're adding to your library.
Definitely. But go ahead, Mr. Aaron. You jumping off this reading topic, seeing what's going on with it.
I just think that, like I said, I think we really need to hear from the readers. Like, it's important. We got to start communicating and communicating better. And I just think that this right here is a much better platform to be expressive on certain things and certain views.
So off the top, I can think of two authors that I've read outside of my usual gender, Vincent Edwards and Swift Motivation. Those were two different books that I wouldn't normally have picked up. But as a result of them being on the show and talking about the books and getting to know the author behind the pen, you know, I was very happy, and it turned out to be a 5-star read for me.
Yes, and that's what it is. It's like, you know, we want to be able to bring this different literature to the readers, you know, introduce them to other authors. Like you said, they might not know what's out there. They might not know that they have a book out that's really, really hot. We're getting them on the show, and, you know, the readers are having exposure, you know, and we're having exposure as authors because some of them we've never met. And, you know, we get to learn, you know, about them and their personality. So when we get to meet in at events and functions, you know, now you have a relationship and you can, then you're just going to be connecting the face, you know, with the voices, you know. But I think that that's a good thing to tell.
I mean, that's another important part, too. Like, getting out there and meeting the readers, being out there, you know, with the books, greeting the readers, you know, letting them actually, you know, engage you in a conversation about, you know, your work, so they can get it directly from the source, you know what I mean? And you could really, you know, give them your all. Like, they already got the book, but when you get that meeting, like, that's like the next level, so... It's like you definitely got to be trying to do your thing as far as that's concerned.
Mm-hmm.
you got to be trying to meet your readers, because if you don't, you don't get out there, nobody might not, like, you can't expand. Like, if you don't get out there, you really can't expand. So you got to be expanding your horizons.
And not only through literature, people, I mean, we've also brought onto the show, you know, a mother who's lost her son due to violence of the street. We've brought, you know, with this Trayvon Martin. We've brought that again onto the show. So it's not just enlightening them literally-wise, but society-wise as well.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. Yes,
that's
indeed.
Absolutely true. Because with social media, there's not a lot of physical interaction as much as there used to be without it. Not saying that social media is bad, because it is a valuable tool to have and use, but it should not be the only tool you have and use as far as communication. Even like with texting, you can put something down on paper, but nobody is going to really know exactly how you mean what you're saying, because they can't see your expressions or hear the details or anything in your voice. All they're seeing is the words, you know. So a lot of times, even if you have those authors that only have e-books, that does not mean that you cannot reach out to readers. It does not mean that you can't have meet and greets and, you know, sit down and just get to know your readers, but it allows readers to get to know each other, because you get to meet somebody else that enjoys doing what you're doing. You know, if I wouldn't have interacted, I wouldn't have known that, you know, me and Tony share the same type of authors that we have in our library that we like. You know, we like the same type of books or passions for books. A lot of times it's good to see somebody else's passion for something that you enjoy, because you're never the only one. You're never the only one in the world. There's always somebody else that enjoys some of the things that you do, and then some of the things that you don't. And you may not ever know if you like those things. You know, sometimes it's word of mouth. With the reader, it's, you know, they meet somebody and it's like, yeah, it's this book and this is the author. It talking to the reader, they pump the book up. They're like, let me tell you what happened, you know, and they get other readers excited. Even if the reader had never talked to the author ever, that author's fan base gets other readers excited about going to purchase their books. So, you know, communication is always important. It's important to talk and interact, and, you know, if there's book fairs or book club events or whatever the case may be, it's always good if there's something in your area and you can make it to go head on and go. You know, it's good to do that networking. And not even just networking for books. You know, there are authors that just don't write books. They have jobs, they do other things. Readers have jobs and do other things. It's good to network around. You never know who you're going to meet and what they're able to pour into your life at that point in time.
Yes, definitely. Tonight we are on Writing Royalty Radio. It is a special readers edition. You got Aaron Bebo, you got the fabulous Miss Tony and Miss Alicia. I am Nene Capri. We're going to have the readers weighing in this evening. We try to bring you literature in different forms. We're going to walk you through different portions of history in the urban fiction drama and try to shed a little bit of light on what it is that we do from the reader's point of view. Aaron, do you have something that you would like to drop? Is it a beat?
Yeah.
Do you have something to drop that beat?
You know, yeah, I mean, I'm going to get into something a little different tonight since we cover... I mean, mostly, like, from speaking from, like, me and Nene, our perspective of urban street fiction, like, you know, we be having that dark element, but we just want people to know that it's dark, but it's talented, and it's pure in its form. So just got some help from our boy right here.
I come to you hungry and tired. You give me food, let me sleep. I come to you weak, you give me strength, and that's deep. You call me a sheep, and lead me to green pastures, only asking that I keep the focus in between the chapters. You give me the word, and only ask that I interpret, and give me the eyes that I may recognize a serpent. You know I ain't perfect, but you'd like me to try. Unlike the devil who just wants me to lie till I die. Lord, why is it that I go through so much pain? All I saw was black. All I felt was rain. I come to you because it's you who knows. You showed me that everything was black because my eyes were closed. You gave me the light and let me bask in your glory. So it was only right that when you asked for this story, I put it together to do our dog some good. Our dogs being brothers and sisters in the hood. Plenty of times you sent help my way, but I hid. And I remember once you held me close, but I slid. There was something that I just had to see, that you wanted me to see so I could be what you wanted me to be. And I think I've seen it, but I don't feel the same. Matter of fact, I know I've seen it. I can feel the change. And it's strange, it almost got me beating down your door. But I've never known love like this before. It's a wonderful feeling to get away from the pain. And up under the ceiling, I get away from the rain. And the strain that I feel when I'm here is gone. I know real, so I wipe away the tears. And I almost lost faith when you took my man, Monty, Faso, and Dre's brother, Dan. And I fear that what I'm saying won't be heard until I'm gone. But it's all good, because I really didn't expect to live long. So if it takes for me to suffer, for my brother to see the light, give me pain till I die. But please, Lord, treat him right.
So powerful. It is so powerful.
I like that. That was hot.
DMX, that is my favorite piece by DMX. Absolute favorite. That is like urban fiction at its finest. You know what I'm saying? Like the use of words. You know what I'm saying? The use of emotion. Telling that story. It's like he putting you right in the space of everything it is that he's speaking about. You know what I'm saying? You're drawn in.
Yeah, you definitely feel him.
Yes, he went in. He's a powerful orator, and he's a good writer. You know, if you listen to him, he's a really good writer. You know, because I'm a reader too. Nene Capri is a reader, but you know, I definitely, you know, that the poems and you know the rap and you know those things are written words. You know,
Yeah. And they're so expressive, too, you know, because like people said, he just literally drew you in, whether you wanted to be in there or not, you were in there.
Yeah, that was deep.
Yeah, it was heavy. Loved it. Yes, definitely. Gotta love it. Love that interaction with them when they share that emotion like that.
For real. And that's the same way.
What?
That's the same way we be feeling when we be writing our books.
Right.
You know what I mean? It just the book is just a longer time period, a longer time frame to actually tell the story, so you get out so many different pieces of emotions and imagination and different elements of yourself as you build these characters and create this world. You know,
yes.
Hoping that some reader enters it and likes it. They want to stay on your planet for a while. For real.
Well, go ahead, take us into a period in history in literature, you know, a time back, you know, and how it has changed. Meanwhile, we're waiting, you know, the readers are listening. They haven't pressed their ones yet. I guess they're listening for the tone of the show. Tonight is a special readers edition on Monday Night Writing Royalty with Aaron Bebo, Alicia, Miss Tony, and Nene Capri. We're letting the readers weigh in. If you're hearing anything about, you know, this genre and you want to weigh in on how you feel about what's going on in urban fiction, definitely hit your ones and, you know, come on in and let's, you know, talk about literature. Aaron?
Yeah, like, I mean, we need to really discuss this. We need to really connect and find out what the readers are thinking and what they're saying. We was waiting on some special readers. I think they done showed up.
I see 202.
Good evening. Right, you're live with the Writing Royalty crew. Please introduce yourself.
Hello, everybody. This is Rita King.
Hey, the King.
Hey, Rita.
How you doing, Rita?
Hi, Aaron, Nene, and Lisa. How are y'all?
Oh, very good. Well, now you're here.
Yes,
I'm tired, y'all, but
well,
I had to call in for the show. Just getting back from the bomb Harlem Book Fair 2014.
All right.
Okay, that's what's up.
How was it? Definitely. Give us some feedback for, you know, the readers out there who need to know how important it is to come out to those events and meet your favorite authors, get your book signed. You know, give us a little bit of how it feels, Rita. Walk us through it as a loyal reader, because you and your husband are official. Y'all do not play.
Yes. You know, every time you buy a book, we got to get it signed and a picture. So it's just like, you know, you see them out there, they hustling. Some of them standing there like, come to my table. So, I mean, they draw you in with their looks, but some of them, you know, are real good greeters.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite of all time, of course, is just buying the book, just having their book in my hand. That's always like enough. It's just a feeling. And my husband Charlie, he always like, don't go crazy in here. I said, why not? That's what they're here for. I got to buy everybody's book. I can't, you know what I mean? Can't leave nobody hanging. They're not out here for nothing. But, you know,
with a bug, right?
But, yeah. You know, Kawan was there. He came with the Right to Eat crew.
Right.
Renisha Pittman, she sold out of all of her books. She was the only one that actually had her books there. Jonna and Niles Manning and C.J. Hudson, they were there. Leo Sullivan came. The infamous Blacktop was there. Thomas Long. Eon and D.C. Book Diva came
DC.
Through. Silk, my man Silk White was there. Who else though? T.C. Littles came. She got picked up by J.M. Benjamin. They got a flick. He had her with one arm, and it's like, he's got some muscles, boy. he was there. A couple of new authors was there. A few of them did pretty good. What's her name? Raquel Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And Stacey Thomas, she has two new authors, and Charmaine was also there with them. Charmaine Galloway.
Okay.
The lady from Virginia, though.
They was out there in force.
But it wasn't the highlights, you know, the OG of Urban Lit, a lot of them wasn't there. But I'm glad that we got to meet new people, new blood.
Yes.
We bought quite a few of them, you know, because they need to know, you know, and I posted and I shout out to them. A new one, I'm not sure if he's new, but Keith Williams came through. Keith Kareem Williams was there. I bought all his books to give him support. A couple of people bought their children there. And it was just interesting. It was so many people. And Kawan's whole group almost, KRG, was just in the house. Like, what? We here. So he had, like, the biggest support. And his interview was awesome. He did a one-on-one interview at the library, and he dropped a lot of jewels. So it was good. I mean, people need to come out. The authors need to, I mean, I think they need to come out to meet who's giving you support. You know, it's not always about writing a book and just throwing it on the e-books and like, yeah, everybody wrote it and then you know, that's it. You need to meet them. You need to talk to them, see the experience of them, the excitement and taking pictures with them, you know, just being there. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It was very good.
That's a blessing. And you always support really big. So, you know, you will travel and fly. You and your husband to come and support authors. And it is good when they give back, you know, and come out so that you can meet them and, you know, sign their books and spend some time with them. You know, that's important as well, you know, spend some time with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and meet other authors. It's not meet other readers. It's, you know, you talk to them and y'all speak on Facebook, but it's good to see a face with a name. You know, our profile picture is not always who you see, or you can't go by the words behind the phone or the computer. It's good to interact, you know, and have fun as a group, you know, and that was good. I like that, you know. I didn't have any issues with anybody there. You know, it was really, really nice. We wish it was more.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of vendors, surprisingly, more than authors. Well, I can't say more than authors, but it was a lot of general vendors. But the authors did come out.
Well, that's a good
thing. And represent it. Yeah.
That's a blessing. And that's good, like you said, that you got to meet new authors. They had opportunity to, you know, display their work, you know. And that's a good thing. That's a real good thing to be able to, introduce to new authors. And let them get that experience. Yes, that's a good thing. So how are you feeling about urban fiction and the movement and the way that it's going? Which way do you feel that is going? With the paperback thing, the pen thing? Like, go ahead, Aaron.
Hold on, Ms. King. Before you answer that, let us bring in our other reader. She's arrived as well. So let's just bring her in. Good evening. 731, you are live with the Writing Royalty crew. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, this is Stacy.
Hi, Stacy. How are you?
Stacy?
I'm doing fine.
Yes.
How y'all doing tonight?
Everyone.
Hello, Stacy.
I'm sorry. I probably should have said my last name.
It's cool. No, we just
was listening, and I did hear her talk about the Harlem Book Fair. I did see pictures. I would have liked to go, but, you know, circumstances. But in all, I love to read books. I'm an avid reader. I buy a lot of books. But I feel that there's no originality anymore. It has really been bothering me to just keep buying books that are repetitive.
Yes.
I don't want to hear the same hood story in every book you write.
Right.
But as in whole, and I don't like series. I love series, but I don't like to read the 9th and 10th book.
Okay.
When you don't introduce new characters or new storyline.
So
I haven't heard of a lot of new authors, but I did get introduced to Aaron when they had the challenge going on. Before then, I had never really heard of his work. But once I read his book, I was like, where have he been? Like, this is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked the way the story was being told in most of his books.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But as a whole, I feel like it's like no originality anymore. I'm seeing the same book covers over and over again. And I know you guys as authors kind of recycle names. I have heard that from a few authors that, you know, the names get repetitive because, you know, there's just not a lot of names out there. I don't know. You guys maybe could tell me about that, but... As far as, like, the books and book covers and stuff like that, they seem to sometimes get repetitive. But as a general, I like the fact that you can – I like this show now. I just heard of it. But I like the fact that I could call in and talk to the authors as opposed to just putting up my review for Amazon and then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's what we was just talking about when we started – when we first started this show off. Miss King, what do you would you prefer me to call you Miss King or Rita? I don't want to.
Whatever one you feel comfortable with. Miss King feel a little old though.
Okay, so I'm going with Rita. We done with that. It's Rita for the rest of the night.
I'll take that.
Rita, so what's your perspective on fiction right now, African American fiction in particular? Because you buy a lot of books and you travel around and you're out in the community. So what's your view?
Like she was saying, a lot of the storylines are the same. I mean, you still got the big hustler and this underdog that wants to take over kind of thing, and the girl that's going to betray them. And, you know, there's no storyline behind that. I'm like, you know, well, what's going on in their life? Is everybody living in the street the same way? You know, it's got to be something different coming to the table. As far as book covers, they just really getting the worst. I mean, they're so raunchy. It's no, I mean, you just got ass out. You just ass and everything is bitching. And I'm like, well, no disrespect, Nene, because you represent a bitch good. But, you know, if it's a bitch, Nene didn't say bitch through the whole movie, I mean, through the whole book. And I'm like, but that's what they have. And it's like, you know, you got the same models, you're using the same models, all these pretty women out here that are able to take a picture for you. You know, you can find different covers just using the same thing. It's just crazy. And then I don't like that when you make that suggestion to some of the authors that they take such offense to it. I'm like, you asking me to review your work and let you know how it is, and then when I tell you, that's not what you want to hear. So which one is it? You just want me to tell you the good parts about it? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I just got a book. I'm not going to put their name up, but I just got a book from somebody, and I'm like, the back of the book cover is blank. I mean, no synopsis, no thank you for coming out. I got three kids. It's nothing. It's an empty back on the book. I'm like, is this her diary that she made into a book? She put the thank yous, and the thank yous in the back of, I mean, the book is just all over the place. I don't even know if I want to read it because, I mean, people are just putting words on paper, and you want people to buy it. I'm not going to waste my money on that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be your friend and, you know, yeah, buy this book if it's not worth going on my shelf.
Yes. That's right. I mean, you are the consumer. You keep us, you know, employed. Like, authors wouldn't be able to say I'm an author if they didn't have someone reading the work. I say this all the time. Supporting you, you wouldn't be able to carry the title. So you definitely want to consider the readers first and foremost when you are, you know, writing, because those are the people who are going to support you and come out. Like I say, y'all sacrifice a lot. You and your husband fly different places and go and, you know, have fun around literature. It's something you can do together. And you're saying, like, you get there, like you said, you want to find what you signed up. So, yeah, I can understand.
Yeah, and if I could, I would buy two books, one for me and one for him, but I'm not. So I still want to support you, and Nene knows for a fact. Aaron doesn't know yet, but I do buy your Kindle, and I buy your paperback. Mm-hmm. I mean, somebody could steal my Kindle, but nobody's going to give me a paperback, especially if it's signed. You know, that's not going out the door. You know, that's just crazy. But, you know, Kindle, yeah, you can pick it up from the computer or your phone or whatever. But it's different when you holding something that they put their hard work into. You know, their mind, people sitting up all night. Y'all sitting up all night thinking of this crazy shit for us to read. And, like, you know, we talk to y'all and y'all so normal. But when y'all get into y'all books, y'all doing some crazy stuff. And I love that. I love when y'all bring it to the table.
I definitely want to experience.
Till My Casket Drop. Who would have thought of that as a title? Till My Casket Drop. That was like a rap, but y'all threw that into the challenge.
Honestly, to tell you the truth, that title was picked by readers. The readers picked that. And I mean, like, that whole campaign was on something totally different. It got a little distracted, but the whole campaign was about bringing the readers and the authors together, and the authors and the authors together. Like, it was just a serious campaign that we was trying to initiate. But I definitely hope to have the experience to meet you one day, not just to sell you a book, but to meet you and talk to you and, you know, just meet you as a reader to author and author to reader so that we could, you know, hopefully grow with each other because I want to grow as a writer still and hopefully have good readers that grow with me and can tell me when I need, you know, to do better or when they appreciate what I'm doing. Like, we need that as authors.
Definitely.
Yeah.
We got a caller, Aaron. We want to bring that caller in so see if a reader can weigh in on some of this. What we're talking about tonight, Writing Royalty, Special Edition, Reader's Edition.
Good evening. 678, you are live with the Writing Royalty crew. Please introduce yourself.
Hey, you guys. It's Brandy.
Hey, what's up, Brandy? How you doing?
Hi. Oh, my God. I'm so glad y'all are having this dang on talk show tonight. Because I got so much that I truly want to say. Like, I'm listening to, I think it's Ms. King, and I'm in agreement with you. I'm a plus-size female, and I get sick and tired of seeing the same big booty model girl on the cover, the same girl described in between the pages. She has the plus-size friend who she's insecure, so she's settling for less. And I'm like, okay, it's more to us than that. And just when I had hope that somebody was going to do it, she disappointed me because it was the same situation, same scenario. I'm like, she's sleeping with this person's husband. That one, I mean, it's just bad in that aspect. And then, like, when it comes to new authors, I would love it if the authors would groom the people before they come out. I'm going to support you. I'm a big fan of 99-cent books, of course. But it's like, if I'm going to pay my dollar, I want my dollar to be worth it, not like, what the hell did I just read? I need to contact Amazon because I'm about to send it back. Like, I mean, and it happens. And then another thing, too, that gets to me is all on my newsfeed now, I cannot stand to see authors beefing with each other. That's how come I commend Cash and Aaron when they did Till My Casket Drop. Because I see so many authors go back and forth with each other, downing each other's work, and they losing fans and losing readers. Like, okay, this is what y'all are based on. Y'all could be taking that energy either writing together or writing y'all own stuff, but y'all not even doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, I don't think authors truly understand. When we be trying to tell them, like, I understand, so you try to tell them, like, okay, well, maybe you should try this story. No, I don't want to do that. But it's like, but we tired of hearing about this, though. I'm with you in that. I'm tired of the same hood love story. That's why I told Nene, the Pussy Trap is by itself. Like, it's none other than the Pussy Trap. Same thing with Aaron's book, Bunches of Love. You ain't going to find no female like her. I couldn't stand her ass, Aaron. Thank you. That's how you know you're doing a good job. I couldn't stand her. Same thing, like, with Eyes and Treby and all that. Like, we need that. We need something else. And people talk about him, but Shameik Spig, I think that's how you say his last name. I love his writing because he took something and spend it, and you're like, well, I wasn't expecting that. Same thing with Kawan. It's just like, wow, I can't believe, like, did you really just write that? Yeah, he just wrote that. So originality is key. Stepping outside the box is definitely key. And I would just love it to see an author who's known make the character, whether it's a girl or female, make her of standard size, plus size, because not everybody in this world today looks like Buffy the Body.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's definitely true. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you ladies, what do you think about series, and do you what number do you think a series should end at? Let's start with Brandy first.
Okay, a series to me, it has to flow if you're going to continue with past 11. It has to be something in there that's like, damn. Like, you really got to be like, okay, I really want more. But honestly, ain't going to say no names. It's a series floating out here now, and it's just like, please give this a damn rest. I want to kill it for you, but you won't let it. And I just feel like if you can't go no further, this is how come I want to stay away from a series, because I truly don't think I want to be bothered with it. But I say 4 to 6, 6 being the max.
Okay.
Okay. Rita?
Series. I can do, I'm trying to think of paperbacks. I can do, I think 4 is enough. And then you could do a spinoff. Then it really won't be considered as a series because you're going to take a character and give them a story. But like you said, I mean, you kind of already know what's going to happen unless you just throwing stuff out there that, you know, we like with Nene books. I thought Trevi was the betrayer the whole damn time. I was like, somebody got to kill her. She ain't that hard. And then when we found out it was, I don't want to talk about that book because it made me upset. But I was like, you know, you don't want to read a book and you already know what's going to happen in it. So after book 4, you know, you done carried on that character, carried on. They done survived. They done got shot in the head. They done got, you know, their heart taken out and put back in and stuff. So, you know, it's not a whole lot more you can say. So I just stopped buying at 4. I think 4 is good. And then, you know, continue on with something else because you can take some of those characters that's left or somebody that you brought in there and start something else. Or you can just think of a whole nother storyline. You don't have to stay with those same characters. You can leave it at the end. You can just leave it like where it is. You can finish it, and we can kind of be held on to whatever you left us at. Or you can kill them or happily ever after, whatever. But, you know, 11 and 12, and they 300 pages each about bullshit, you know, I don't want to get that. So,
okay.
That's
Stacey.
How I feel.
Did we lose Stacey?
Oh, I didn't hear you say my name.
Oh.
I feel the same way. I can do 6. After 6, maybe 7, I really don't want to read anymore. And I think that it has to have a different storyline. If you got the same storyline for 5 books, then it's trash. I don't want to read the same storyline, the same characters. Then you like, I wish this girl just damn die. Why she won't die? And I think that it has to be something different about it. Some books are so good that at book 7, I'm still like, oh, yeah, I'm buying that book. I don't care if it is $12. I'm buying that book because it's just that good. But I like series. So I like series. I like, but I don't like after book 5, you ain't got me no more.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It is with the series. That's how the readers feel. Also, you know, if there's any
and
readers out there
thing,
that's listening
thing
that would
I
like to
say,
join the conversation.
Rita.
Yes?
Okay. I'm sorry. This is Rita. I wanted to say another thing about series. Some of them are getting shorter. Some of them are getting shorter. So I don't know if now it's a money thing of making money off.
No,
of making
you know what?
Series.
That's interesting. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about that some more about, you know, the stories, books, different things, and the length and all that. I want to talk about all that. So I just want to bring this caller in real quick. 678-938. Good evening. You're live with the Writing Royalty Crew. Please introduce yourself.
Hey, y'all. I'm Jess. How y'all doing?
Hello. I missed your name.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello. What was your
Jess.
Name again?
I'm Jess.
Oh, Jess. Okay. Good evening, Jess. I don't know how long you've been listening, but tonight's show is dedicated to readers. So what we're doing is we're allowing the readers to call in and speak with myself and Nene Capri, also Leisha and Tony are here, they're readers as well. And we're letting the readers express their overviews and the things that they expect from literature. And we also want to clear up any myths or anything. If you have any questions, things that you may not understand or things that you don't know about literature, if me or Nene Capri could answer any of those questions, like we here for that. Like we wanted to have a live forum with the readers so they could really express themselves.
And I'm gonna give you a little bit of history about Jess right quick. She actually goes all the way back to when Wahida first started writing. Like, they were like the first test readers for Wahida. Those are the WCP Divas. And they were on the scene when they first started the chat rooms and the talk rooms, and they were running Wahida's page, you know, with listening to different authors put their works and stuff in it. So she has a long history of reading, like in that reading revolution, being very young and trying to hold it down about literature. So how you feel that it's moving, Jess, from that time to now?
I like the way that it's going, in a sense. And I say that because, I mean, it's more ways than one to really get, you know, your story out there, whether it's through paperback, Nook, iTunes, or whatever. But I feel like it's not, what word can I say about that? It's not original anymore. It doesn't have that same feel anymore than how it used to be, you know, before. Me, I love the evolution of it, but I still prefer paperback over everything. So sometimes you do get tired of Nook, you do get tired of Kindle. It doesn't give you that same feel, just more of a quick read. Far as I wanted to also speak on what they were speaking before about, you know, how long a series should be. I don't think there should be any limitations on series. Just for some fact, if you have a good story, it can continue as long as you have that same creativity and originality and that fire for it. And then eventually it can go off the spinoff. And also, I think far as readers, I think that like a certain mindset is what kind of put readers in that same state of mind that all books are the same as far as its characters and content. I don't know. There's a lot of things about it that's good and bad about all of it. I just respect the author for just even writing stories and really just really trying to get stuff out there and having much creativity when creating. And it's original.
I'd like to say something. I'm sorry.
Okay.
That's me. This is Tony. Welcome, ladies, Brandy, Jess, Stacey, and Nita.
Hey.
Thank you guys for thank you for joining the show tonight. Hey, I'd like to say something as a reader as far as series goes. I think a series can go, I would say past 11 or 12, but as long as a series has a dynamic plot, the interest is there, and you're not telling the same story over and over in each series. I mean, you have different avenues that you can go into, new characters brought into the book, and I think it can hold an interest. You know, not necessarily the same characters in each and every part of that series. You know, you have so many avenues that you can travel into to keep the story fresh.
I agree, but I not to cut you off, but I'll.
Hello?
Go ahead.
No,
I think y'all lost her.
Oh, man.
I'm just trying to figure out who back there watching TV. That sound like Aaron.
Absolutely not. Go ahead and blame it on the guy, right? Every show.
I'm in agreement with the series, but my thing is, if you're going to continue a series, don't give it a number. Continue to give it something else and let us say, oh, okay, this is a continuation. Because, like, when you put a number on it, it's like, oh, my gosh, she's up to number what now? And it automatically just turns you off, like, okay, we number so-and-so. Right. Like, that's just my opinion. Don't give it a number. And, yes, like, granted, it could be a continuation, but also, too, introduce us to some new people. But, see, as readers, I've seen a lot of readers get upset when new characters are introduced to a series. And I'm like, but why? That's what keeps it pushing. And they can, a lot of readers can't stand that. Like, well, why would you bring this person in? Well, what did they, why did you do that? What happened to this? What part do they play? So you also got to keep in mind, a lot of readers are stuck in their ways. So I kind of feel for y'all authors.
I like that.
I have a question for the readers.
Okay.
Oh, go ahead, Erin. Well,
no,
I was going to say I agree with, and hey, ladies.
Hey.
It's hey, everybody. I have a question, though, because I do agree with a lot of the readers and the feelings that they have. But the question I want to ask you guys, now when you say there's no originality, right, is it that the author's pen is lacking its own identity? Because if you think about it, a lot of these authors are actually writing based on what their life is. And depending how they grew up, they may have all grown up, you know, doing the same things, or especially if you're reading a street lit book. Because normally you might have somebody that reads somebody else's book. They may have a same type of background and say, okay, well, I can write a book better than that. And then now they're like, well, I'm going to be an author and write my life story and just change some things around. But is it that, I think Erin is the one that always says your pen has to have its own identity. So I guess my question would be, do you think that their pens are lacking identity, which is making it more unoriginal across the board?
I think so. I don't want to read your book and then read another author's book and say, didn't somebody else just write this thing for me? I don't want to spend my money on a book that I think another author has already written.
And not only that, like, my thing is, okay, originality. If you're going to write about your life, take it back to your era when you're writing about. If your era was with Biggie Smalls, then that's who your music should be pertaining to, and then you bring it up to current times. There's nothing worse than you could sit here and say, I'm writing about my life, but then one of the songs in your book is K. Michelle's Can't Raise a Man. K. Michelle wasn't out when you was going through what you was going through, so how can you say this is in relation to my life?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's like,
you
can tell by, like she said, their writing, with exactly your writing. Like, some of these weapons, they wasn't so available back then. People was, like, throwing down with the fist. You know, you was getting a lot of fist fights. Some people got shot. We was getting hit put out, you know, back in the day. You had a hit put out on, or you knew, you know, somebody was on the run. You knew not to come outside no time soon, or, you know, you got to post up somewhere for a minute or face of Grim Reaper, you know. But y'all just, I mean, some people just, you just write and you read something and you think you're going to spin it, and we already know where you're going. It's basic. You're riding in a car. You already know you get ready to set up some crime scene, and it's already the same. We know where it's going. You know, get in the head. What was actually going in your head while you were writing? Because sometimes I feel like, you know, it's a pullback. Some of these hustlers not as strong, or like they write, and they not as strong as they write. They not as gangster as they write. Some people, like, they pull out that gun, but they not going to use it unless their man is, and they got to prove a point. But you in the book, like, you know, he's the thoroughest one out here. Watch out for him. And that wasn't you. That wasn't your life, or you wouldn't be here today. If that was your life and you were so gangster, you know, half the gangsters ain't really living that long. They got a time limit on them. So you're not really writing about your life, or you're going to be here, or you'd be in jail, or we would have heard about you.
Even if you wasn't that gangster and you just decided to add a little more to the story, maybe you started off about your life, but it wasn't that interesting. So you had to amp it up some to catch the reader's attention. I don't really see anything wrong with that, but as she said before, I don't want to read. Make it your era. If that's what you did in your era, then make the book the same. I don't want to read about, you know, the first five chapters that started off in the 80s, and then now we in 2013, and you just jumped. You didn't progress to it. So mm-hmm. I think that's kind of a problem, too, and I hate reading books, which I'm reading a book right now, and at 30%, I already know what's going to happen. I can predict mm-hmm. the rest of the whole book.
Hmm.
Let's talk about that for a minute, about the progression of the books, and also the writing itself, the writing that you're seeing, and then more so what I want to talk about is the perception of the author, because I don't know if this is what you guys meant, but what I was hearing was.
No.
A lot of these authors aren't gangster, and they're writing these books and turning it up a little bit more than what they are. And if hearing that, do you think that today's street lit urban fiction author sells more of the persona of having to be street rather than just being an artist and being artistic? Do you think they get better at that?
Well, I'm sorry. Repeat that, Aaron. You said that they get better with what?
Do you think that authors receive better acceptance if they're writing in the street lit genre and they're portraying the fact that they're also gangster? They're not an artist. They're more gangster. The gangster precedes their artistic side because they're writing
street fiction. No. I mean, I'm gonna give you props off of your work. Like I tell you all the time, Aaron, I don't never down nobody's work. I don't care if I like you or not. And it's an author right now that every time a status of his come up on my news feed, I be wanting to comment like, you can't be serious right now. Like, you're not about that life. Like, you could just tell you're not serious. You're not about that life. Like, stop it. Like, come on now. You're not about that life. Your writing isn't about that life. I hate that. And I'm with you, Aaron. It's like, if that's not you. Like, for instance, I respect Cass. He'll tell you, that wasn't about me, but I was around during such and such time. I know such and such people. That's why I'm writing such and such, and I could change the names. Okay, I respect that. You keeping it 100. Like, no, that wasn't me, but it was somebody I know. But so many people out here, it's just like, you could just tell it's so forced. Like, it is just so forced. And if it was forced for you to sit there and type it, it's forced for me to sit there and try to read it.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I agree to some degree with Brandy, but I think we are a select few of the readers. And I think most authors try to appeal to the masses. And probably nowadays the masses like that gangster persona. So those books, they sell more with all of that gangster stuff and them amping their life up that this is what they did, because I think they're just trying to appeal to the masses. A lot of authors just want to sell books, and I hate that. I hate that some authors just want to sell books as opposed to giving the reader something special.
Now, I have a question for...
And gangsters don't have that much time to be on no Facebook, so what is that? I mean,
now,
you're trying to make money.
For Nene and Aaron, as authors, let's be serious, because it's like I said, I ain't going to drop no names, but I feel like as an author, there should be no reason why you're releasing a book every month. And every month you're releasing this book, and I go look on Amazon to see what the reviews are, and the reviews are horrible. But you're still releasing a book every single month because, like somebody said, the select few is amping you up to do what you got to do. So my question is, how often should an author release a good book? Like, instead of you just selling, like, come on, how often do you release a book?
You want to answer that first, Nene? Or?
What I'll say is this. Coming from Wahida's camp, you know, Wahida always say that you want to give ample time for promotion and give each product its opportunity to flourish, to grow, to get it into the hands of readers, you know, to introduce it to new readers, to see what your core group of supporters, how they feel about it. Like, you want to circulate enough interest, and then, you know, give that book a time to breathe and live and have its own life, let those characters develop in the minds and the hearts of the readers, let them share that opportunity, give them opportunity to have something to bond, like the readers on this line are saying. They meet other readers. They can talk about it. They can spend some time still sharing it before something else comes and it's like, boom, okay, push that to the side. Now let me try to digest this. Okay, now you push that to the side, let me try to digest that. I think that you should always take your time with your craft and giving quality work. Now, if you can give a quality product to a reader and, you know, that particular authors has readers that want that and they can satisfy that need, then so be it. You know, that's how they do it. But all I say is make sure that it's quality work, that we're not robbing the readers, that we're giving them, you know, full-length novels, edited, formatted, you know, put together in a nice package, yes, and say, here you, yes, go. This is what I have done for you. You know what I'm saying? And in that spirit, and do you. You know what I'm saying? But all I never want is that we cheat the readers or seem like they are not smart enough to know if we're trying to get one past them. You know, you're out here, you're watching us, you're looking at us, you're looking at books. You come in contact with more books than authors sometimes, than authors come in contact with authors. So you know the tone of what's going on. So I think that, you know, writing the novels, you should write into the tone and the spirit of those who are passionate about supporting you. That's just me. Aaron?
I'm going to answer that question as soon as I bring this caller in.
Bring her in.
570-540, good evening. You are live with the Writing Royalty Crew. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, this is Keisha.
Hey.
What's good,
hey,
Keisha.
Keisha.
Hey, Keisha.
Just listening.
Okay.
I have a question. My question is, why is it that we're so hard, if we are our own people, so hard on our own selves? Like, that genre, right, we are so hard. We are accepted from other genres. They have books out every month. Harlequin is an author named Rosa. Somebody, every month she drops a book, and she does well. That's how she do it. But when it's like black people do something, if it's in music, books, we come harder for each other than anything, and that's why the growth can never go. So we start fighting and bringing each other down, then the whole thing get a bad rep. Nobody want to deal with you in the bigger arena. We have to respect our own self and each, and understand all it's different authors. Let them, if you don't like their books, then cool. I read a lot of stuff. I'm not a big science fiction reader, but I do read it sometimes. And some books I like, some books I can't deal with because my mind can't rationalize a tree talking to me. And, you know, I can't deal with that part. But still, to hear people saying, like, you know, this author, he writes too many books. Okay, that's that author. You don't like it. But there's some readers that do like that, that appreciate that. That's cool. Let that go ahead and grow. And then And if you're writing nonfiction books, of course somebody's going to, you know, if it's about your wife, Lucy, then you got to amp it up. We read God's Godfather books, and that stuff ain't all true. But you got posters in your wall and say, oh, God, you know, Godfather this, Godfather that. That's not even your history.
Yeah. I think to answer your question as far as like the us being so hard on ourselves with the books and everything, like, I think that I don't think it was always like that in urban fiction in the beginning, because I think everybody was in a learning stage. So it was new to everybody, and people were sharing information. It was structured. You know, things were going. It was right. So if somebody was dropping books every month or every few months or however it was going back then, because like Nene said, like, it was really taking time for books to come out back in the days. But like when that was going on, people weren't being. It wasn't oversaturated. So they didn't have to rush to the market. They could sustain life on the market, because even now today, realistically, a book has no life. But the book life of an urban fiction novel now has changed. It is quick now. The readers have changed. The reading is different. The people, a majority, now I'm not saying a majority, I apologize for that. A majority of the readers that we see on Facebook that we come in contact with daily are not a majority of the reading community overall. So, like, there's people that's just devouring these. But you see somebody on Facebook that'll start a book in the morning, and by the time they get home that evening, they have not only read that book, they've read two more books besides that. People are devouring this information so quickly that they're really not even reading these books. They're reading the pages. They're seeing the words, but they're not absorbing these books. That's why you sometimes see people give books bad reviews, and you'd be like, yeah, I read that same book. It was pretty good, or vice versa, because they're really not reading. The information's not being processed properly. It's going quick. And so now people are just trying to bring books to the market quick. Like, yo, my book has no more life. It's not sustaining life on the market. So I have to have something else.
I would say, let me go back to what she said about putting books out every month. It depends for me, because there are some authors that if you put a book out today, then if it's that good, then I want another one soon. I don't want to wait 2 years for you to drop the next book. So some authors put books out every few months, but they are able to because the books are just that good. So I'm going to say that I don't mind some authors putting out. I'll buy K1 books every month if he put one out because they, to me, they're just that good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's your own.
He put a lot of books out this year. But
can I address what I was saying with that whole book once a month? If NeNe put out a book once a month, I believe you me, I'm going to buy it. If the authors that I love and adore put out a book once a month, believe me, I'm going to buy it. But what I'm saying is this: you put out a book once a month, and it's the same situation, the same thing, like how she said at 30% she could predict what's going to happen. But I could read the prologue and say, okay, so this is what's going to go on with this book, and sure enough, that's what happens. That's what I'm saying. Like, when do you, like, sit down and say, okay, it's time for me to truly switch it up, or not so much switch it up, give these set of characters a break and let me focus on something else? And
yeah.
That's just like, to me, I have an issue with this right here. The parents, of course, are book number one, but I don't like to read a book where you're writing about the parents and you introduce us to the kids, and the next thing I know, the kids are grown, and you're still talking about the parents, and you're still talking about the kids, but it's like, it does not mesh, it doesn't do anything, because if memory serves me correctly, you just said they were like they were babies. Now they got their own book. How does that work?
I have a
like that doesn't work at all to me. It's like it's not like that doesn't register in my mind. Like okay, y'all grew up from book one. Now y'all on your own thing.
I agree with that. I can agree with that. Miss Tony, you have something.
Miss Tony, yes.
No, that wasn't me. I was just...
Oh, no, it was Jess. I'm sorry. It's me.
Oh, go ahead, Jess. You back in hair and makeup?
Yeah. No, I mean, I know as a reader, certain books you read, you will look for the next big thing in the next book. And sometimes you will want the characters to be similar or some sort. And my question is, how different, in what ways of difference do you expect the next book to be? I mean, is it through the character development? Is it through the storyline, the plot? I mean, you have to understand, if it's within urban lit, it's in urban lit, so you're going to deal with a lot of violence, sex, drugs, street, just everything in general. So exactly in which way of difference will you want a book to be? Like, what are you expecting different? Is it the creativity in the book, the writing style? Like, what kind of difference
please.
Do you expect?
Like, it's the same. It's like the same storyline within these. Like, first of all, and I'm like with getting back to like with it being shorter. every time it comes out, the pages are less and less to the point where it's like pretty soon it's going to be a pamphlet. Like, seriously, I'm paying such and such for a few pages, and pretty soon it's going to be a pamphlet. And I feel like when you notice the pages start to get less and less, it's time for you to wrap that series up, because that means you ain't got nothing to talk about.
What do you readers think about some of the smaller books being released to the market?
I honestly don't read all of the smaller books because it will only make me mad. I'll read a few E series, like probably the one by Ash and John, maybe a little bit of Nikki Turner here and there, but I don't do too much of the short books. Series stuff too much, because I would want a full story. I would hate for something to be good and then it stops and you don't hear nothing else about it. I don't do it that way. I mean, if need decides me, I'm just saying, if you decide to do like a little mini series on a spinoff, like let's say The Life of Caseline, I'm down 100%. Only because I know your style of writing, and I respect it. Or why he did it too. I know, but it's not a lot of books that I will read too much on a short series, or just short in general. Not
really. I would like to add that. I think was that Rita that just said that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It depends on the author, you know. As far as a short book, I mean, short to me, maybe what 150, 200 pages. Is that what you're talking about, Bebo?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, definitely. And there's definitely, but see, there's categories for that as well too.
Uh-huh.
So, but that's another thing. But yeah, like these were like with books like 150 pages or so, 175 pages. You know, I mean.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it depends on what.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Tony. I was just going to agree with Tony. It does depend on the author, and it depends on the author's pen. This is the thing. I don't think it really matters how long the book is or how short the book is. It depends on what is the author writing when they're writing in the book. Is your pen blazing? Because if you give them a short book and that book is hot, they ain't going to care if the book is two pages. They're going to be like, did y'all see what happened? If you're going
to
draw the reader in.
But if you're
writing and you are not drawing that reader in, your pen is what sells your books. It's not your publisher. It's not the promoters. It is your pen. So if your pen is not drawing those readers in, then there's something that needs to be tweaked there. And the other thing is you cannot rush. You need to go back and read the first book before you write the second book. Or when you finish the first book, by the time that first book goes out, the second book should be halfway done. So you need to be writing them both at the same time. A lot of these new authors, they have one book, when I think that they should have three finished books. If that book is a series, have that series written and ready to go. So when the first book goes out, if you need to tweak the second book, you can tweak the second book and you can send that out whether you want to wait a couple of months or if you want to, however the publisher decides to do it, but you need to be ready and prepared. And I think it sounds like what most of the readers are saying is a lot of the authors are not putting in preparation for their sequels. They're not kind of paying attention to what they wrote previously or how they did things previously, and they're not growing their pen. If you have part two already written, well, you're going to grow by the time you put part two out, so you might want to go back and read it because maybe you want to add something else or take something out or tweak this scene or tweak that scene because your pen has improved. And I think, you know, they need to take more time. Take time. Don't always go for quantity. Go for quality. Put out the quality work you can put out.
I do. Go ahead. Just for the authors in general. Well, y'all. Now, what keep y'all going? Like, I know some authors who put out books and they kind of lost that hunger to give fans more or to want to write more, or either they'll give just something to just put out there to make the money. Like, you know.
My eyes on camera.
Huh?
What keeps us going?
Yeah, like, what keeps y'all going? And when do you know enough is enough? Because there are some authors who, you know, they're very good at what they do, but then they lose that. They lose that spark to just make them want to keep writing. And just due to high demands, they'll just throw out a book and it not be good. You know what I mean? Like, what will keep y'all going? What makes, I mean, is it just the fans? Is that enough? Or, like...
It is for me. It is for me because I never wrote for money. I never wrote for fame or any of that. I wrote because I like to tell a story. And when I came into those groups early on, when y'all was, you know, big on why y'all was holding her pages down, and I shared my work in raw form, unedited, uncut, you know, bumbling around, didn't really know the format, and I shared it with you all, and I had an opportunity to hear on the ground level from readers what I needed to do, what they was looking for, how they felt about it, and from that moment, how they made me feel, how they received me, it's been that passion that I write in every time I put out a book. So for me, it is. It's all about the readers to me because they are important to me. And I listen to what you say. When you comment, I read those comments, and I think if I'm still writing, I say, how can I twist any portion of what they're thinking into this book so that when they read it, they could be like, yeah, Nene listens to me. She hears me. She feels me like I feel her work. And that's how I write. And I enjoy to write like that. But, you know, everybody has their process. But I thank you, you know, all of you for supporting me and, you know, believing in me and, you know, helping me build what I'm building. And I'm glad you're on the journey with me. But that's how I write. Aaron?
For me, honestly, it's for me first. Like, it's for me first. Like, I have to be feeling it in order to want to do it. And it's just something that's been in me all my life. I've always been writing, scribbling poems, something, always, or reading. You know, my love of reading took me into writing, so it's always for me first, and then it's for the reader. It's never for money, ever. Like, it's always for me, and then it's for the reader.
I just think
because it's the reader and me. It's probably for the reader and me first. That's why it's probably for me first, and then on to the next readers.
I think that's what makes y'all books more real due to all of that. Because I know the new authors now who are doing a lot of e-books, I think they're more so doing it for the money. And that's kind of what makes Kindle, Nook, like all these e-series, like not so good. Because everybody's hunger is different. Everybody's passion is different. So,
yeah, definitely. It's definitely the literature community, as far as the authors, have definitely expanded at a very, very quick rate. I think it was unexpected because there was a time when it was just books that was coming in. You really only looked for certain books from certain authors, and you already knew who they were. It wasn't congested. You really knew when those books were coming. You could work the market the correct way. You drop a book, you probably promote a book for like 3 months, drop the book. People would talk. There was a time when people would talk about one title for 5, 6, 7 months straight, just one title, because they was really digesting the information. They were developing with the character and the stories. They were into the books. They were really reading these books. But now the information is being digested way too quickly, and people just want the next book.
Yeah.
Like, just give me the next book. And that's what's staining the quality of the work as well, because authors are trying to take shortcuts, or they're trying to get the work to the market so fast so that readers won't turn on them, because now it's an overwhelming population of authors that they're like, I got to hurry up and get something out there. So that taints the work as well. You know what I mean? And, like, sometimes, you know, it's not always good to put pressure. As artists, we're very, very... we're very moody people, especially authors, because you don't know what type of character may be going on in your head while you're dealing with real life.
Right.
So, you know, authors are very, very disturbed people, kind of, sort of. And no, for real. Mm-hmm. And when you start trying to put pressure on an artist, it doesn't always it doesn't mean that you're going to get what you want on that canvas because mm-hmm. the pressure's there. It just may be something that forced them to do it. The artist is always the artist first.
Right.
And then it's the painting. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Then it's the person that admires the painting. And it's mm-hmm. in that order. It can't yeah. go the other way or it's going to be wrong.
I think pressure ruined a lot of authors that we were so used to in the beginning.
Yes.
I see a lot of that now.
Yes. And a lot of
readers just don't know. I think they read a book, it's good to them, so they want more, so they start to put pressure on. I think mm-hmm. a lot of readers just don't know not to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It won't put you in the result that you want.
Yeah, and then when the book come out, you like, oh man, I waited for this. Like, oh, it should have been this because you not realizing like, yo, you done put pressure on this person. Like I said, back in the days, I know Rita know and a lot of Jess, a lot of y'all that's on this line, Keisha, y'all know. Back in the days, people was talking about one title for like 6 or 7 months. They would be talking about the same title. It may be about 5 different authors they were talking about, so it would probably be like a 5-title collective, but it would be 5 different authors, 5 different books, and they would spend the time waiting for the next book talking about the first one. That's not
mm-hmm.
happening now. As soon as somebody finishes your book at lunchtime, dinner time, you better be getting ready to upload the part two.
Right.
And it's not seriously, and it's not good, and people are not digesting these books the same.
No.
A lot of readers are just looking for certain scenes. Like, I got bored. I went right to the sex scene. Yeah, but guess what? On the part where you got bored was where the character development was going on, and that's why you ain't understand what was going on in chapter 33, and the book became whack to you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because you skipped like 7 chapters because you was bored.
Now, my question, and to address that, you got to be a bored something and truly be horny or something to flip through them pages to find a sex scene. Who the hell, even though I done read The Pussy Trap and I can pinpoint all of them, still, you
got
to be bored to find them, and this is the first time you ever reading this book. Now, if you read it a few times, see, and that's when you know a book is good, when you can sit there and say, I read it a few times and I did not realize I missed this. Same thing like with a movie. I could watch a movie and be like, yo, I didn't even know she said that until I watched it for like the 5th time. Same thing with Coco and Kason. For a minute, I had to ask Nene, and she laughed at me because she was like, do you know, like, really, Brandy? I'm like, yeah, I didn't even know, like, that happened until I actually, like, reread it again for, like, the 6th time.
Yeah, see, that's what was going on back in the day. People was rereading books.
Mm-hmm.
People would finish a book, and it would be so good. They'll call a girlfriend that they talk to about books, tell them about it, and be like, girl, I'm about to start this book again.
Man,
right on the spot.
I did that a bunch of times with your book.
I did, too.
I did.
Yeah, like,
I don't even know what read I'm on. I don't know if it's 10th or 11th. I don't know.
Yeah, I've done that, too. And I've also, I think after I read The Pussy Trap, I was like, I asked my boyfriend, let's try the electric chair. I had to go back and read it again so I can get the instructions right on how to do it. But it sometimes makes you want to be like, I want to try that. That shit was the bomb.
The character seems so real and relatable.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. I was like, if you end the series, just do a spinoff of Chase on itself. I don't know.
I have to say good night to y'all, but I have to go.
Thank you, Miss. Thank you. 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 Thank you
when we used to, like, in the back of the day, wait, talk about a title for 6 months, I used to live in a library. I loved going to the library. And sometimes you would go and your book would be out and you just waiting and waiting for it to come back in. Sometimes you call them at the library and so-and-so book back in, you know, and they have quite a few titles and they're all out. So that's the sign of a good book and everybody's reading it. But this was back before e-book and social media. So those were like true readers. You know, you would be waiting for those new books to come in.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes,
because I was so big on Triple Crown when Triple Crown was popping before it actually, you know, before Triple Crown had their issue. Like, you know a book is good when Keisha Irvin, it's been 10 years since me and my boyfriend, and when she finally announced that she's finally dropping part two, everybody, like, right, went to her Instagram, went to her Facebook, like, oh, my God, stop playing with me. You really going to drop that? Like, people was just like, oh, my God, I remember, like, I said, I remember, like, it was yesterday when Misa was sitting at home hot and needing the air conditioner, and that's when she ran into Black. Like, see, and that was 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's
stuff like
gotta,
that stays with
that
you.
That feeling got to come back. Let me grab this caller, y'all. We have another caller. 414-306, good evening. You're live with the Writing Royalty Crew. Please introduce yourself.
Hey, this is the storyteller just chiming in, listening to the show.
Oh, hey, what's going on, brother? How you doing?
Doing good, doing good. I said, man, they're having a show tonight. I got to catch one of these shows. I ain't caught one in a couple of weeks.
Okay, we appreciate you calling
in.
You've been listening. What do you got anything you wanna share, add?
No, I actually chimed in late, so I just heard the last about that electric chair, and I think I'm going to go.
Lord have mercy. I'm never going to live this down.
Everybody done tried the electric chair, and when you try it the first time, oh, you will put your back out. If something going to hurt, you're going to be like, no. Then you're going to go back and read it, like Rita said. You're going to read it line by line and say, now, it says this, that, and the other. Now, that's what I did, and it's not coming out the same way. Maybe I'm missing something.
And the electric chair had me having a blind moment because I had a Mbonini, like, okay, you know what, don't tell nobody, but I'm confused. How did he do that again? I had to Google images, like,
Nene had to give us a session. She had to have a chat open, and she had to explain it. Because we was like, so, okay, so what about this? Well, how do you She had to run it on down and explain it. And everybody was like, oh.
Yeah. So I was happy to help, you know. So I do what I can when I can, you know.
Yes, indeed. So, Charles, let me ask you a question. What are some of the things as an author that you do to try to stand out away from other authors and give the readers quality work?
I think I just try to stay true to the writing. I do a lot of reading myself, and I know what catches me. Like I hear people talking about books that they've reread over and over. I like to go back and reread a book myself that I know has really caught my attention, because we do pick up on certain things that the author said or the way they worded something that's like, wow. One of my favorite books to reread like that is R.M. Johnson's A Billion-Dollar Divorce. I mean, I read that book 100 times. He just told the story so great. As an author myself, I always want to write a story that a reader should be able to feel the same way I feel about that book.
Okay.
Right.
Let me ask you another question. What do you feel about giving back to the readers, as far as, I don't mean like gifting out any Kindle copies or anything, but giving back to the readers in the sense of making yourself available and trying to make yourself available to the readers so that they can meet you as well?
I think in any profession that's important. You know, I've been in other professions, and every profession I've ever been in, I've always prided myself on being a people's person. You know, that just, that gives people a sense of knowing who they're supporting. Like, oh, this is a great person, you know. And I think also when you're talking about giving back to a reader, a lot of readers now want complete stories. So I think that's something that I will continue to do, not drop a lot of short stories, give the readers a full-length novel, a standalone novel. I think they like that, you know. It's to each their own, but I think they like that. So it's many ways to, you know, give back to your readers. You know, some people aren't people persons, but then they need to find another way to give back to their readers.
Right, that's right.
Yeah, that's right.
I agree. Like, you have a lot of authors who don't go to signings and things like that, but they are very active in their groups and, you know, chatting and being personable with their core group of readers, and I think that's just as valuable. Until, you know, you're able. Like, everybody can't travel. Everybody's situation financially is different. You know, everybody's not writing on, you know, big publishing contracts. Like, some authors are really struggling, and they want to get this work to the readers. But, you know, when you see them giving up themselves in groups and, you know, talking and spending time and doing sites and, you know, things like that, so you still getting to, you know, be with the readers, I think that's commendable.
That's commendable.
Yeah. Special edition. You know, this is the Writing Royalty Radio Clubhouse. You know, Clubhouse tonight. They have definitely taken over, you know, sharing what it is they love about literature. You have Anthony Baldwin, the fabulous Miss Tony, and Miss Lucha, as well as a host of our reading bosses. We have Brandy, Miss Rita, Stacey Hunt, that's the building, Keisha. We have Jeff, and everybody's in the Clubhouse. Kings is in the building. Out, you know, and sharing how they feel about literature. Aaron, go ahead and take it to the next level.
Let me ask you, readers, what do you think about the actual quality of the writing being brought to the market? What keeps your favorite author your favorite author, and what brings you to a new author? As readers.
Well, I guess I'll go first. Nene is, of course, because I don't really have a lot of favorite authors, because it seems like every time they become my favorite, they end up disappearing. So it's like, well, damn, you gone, so now I got to move on to the next. But if it wasn't for Nene, I would never have known about Cash. She's the one who told me, like, I'm going to collab with this other author. You should look him up. And, of course, it's like, I don't want to find nobody else. Like, I'm stuck to you. Like, you know, come on. I don't want to be introduced to nobody else. But I tried Cash's stuff out, and it was like, he's really good. Now, for me, the way I could be drawn into you is you have to leave me at least with a character that I cannot stand. That's what brings me back, because I want to know what happens to that person. Like, oh, I can't stand so-and-so, but I'm going to read it because I need to know what's going to go down. Like, that's to me is a factor for me. You have to have that one character that you put your all into, and we know you put your all into that character because they're the most hated. But it's like, I hate you so much, but I got to find out what goes on with you. Like, I need to know what goes on. And the quality, let me see, the quality with new readers, with new authors, or the old ones?
Well, both.
Well, you know, I will honestly say I've come to truly realize, being an aspiring author myself, I see a lot of new authors wanting to be like the people they're signed under. And you can't do that. You can't be Nene. Like, Nene's herself, you got to be yourself. Like, you can't be Cash. Cash is himself, you got to be Cash. Like, you can't be Aaron, you got to be yourself. And it's just like, it makes you wonder, well, did you write that because that's how you were feeling, or did you write that because the person you're signed under is known for bringing that type of heat? Like, I commend Coffee for Love Knows No Boundaries. It was shocking to see, like, a love story come from Cash, who wants to kill everybody. Everything moving, he wants to then shoot him and kill him. So for her to write something and it actually, like, went through, that's like, oh, okay, yeah, you stand on your own two feet, you being original. I like that. I appreciate that. I just want the OGs to come back out. Like, come on. I've been stalking Jimmy the Saint, asking him, so when you coming back out? Where's Black Scarface? Like, you, like, what's going on with Black Scarface?
It's not Black Scarface out.
It is? Mm-hmm. Okay, see, y'all, I'm real.
But you know what I want to say? I agree to a certain extent as a reader to what Brandy said, but at the same time, I kind of disagree. Only because I think that it's the author. If you put shorts in your book, and I'll take T. Styles as an example. T. Styles is a twisted author. She writes dark fantasy type books. However, in her book, you will get street lit, you will get erotica, you will get urban contemporary. She's going to take you here, she's going to take you there. She pushes her pen to take it different places. If it needs to be dark, she go darker. She got to lighten it up and show some love, she's going to do that. Some of the books are missing where the authors are pushing their pen to do different things, because if you think about it, your fan base is your fan base. If you wrote on the back of a paper bag, they're going to buy it. If you said Mary Had a Little Lamb, they're going to buy it. So if you say, I'm going to try and do this, push your pen, because at the same time that you're pushing your pen, you're introducing your readers to a different type of genre. You know, you're saying, I wanted to go a little light because I go hard all the time, but I'm going to give it to them a little bit at a time so that they get used to you doing it. But whatever your hardcore readers read from you, no matter where your pen goes, they're going to follow you. They might go kicking and screaming. They might say, I don't know, but they're going to open up that book. They're going to one click it, and then they're going to buy it. It's going to be in their library.
I think for me, like when Nene came to be a new, you know, Arthur, for me it was different because I got to know Nene as a person first, you know, as herself, and then make the transition into becoming an Arthur. So by me knowing the way Nene thinks and how she do things, I just knew automatically Hope was going to be just off the chain. Now, as far as what I look for in any book, it's for the way they develop their characters. You know, that's the main thing for me. I have to be drawn to the character in every angle. I have to know everything about the character and the way they develop it. So character development is the main thing for me. That's just with trying to get to know any author when they put out anything. So I don't know. It all depends. Mm-hmm. I won't read everybody books. I won't read everybody books, but I do give chances to those that I do come across. But I'm a different type of reader. It has to have that same feel as how books used to be back then, but more refreshed and revived.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So for me, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And see, for me, that was the complete opposite.
I have something to say on that as well.
I fell in love with Nene's books before I met the person.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I had already loved her pen, but once I met the author behind the pen, I just loved and respected her work even more. So it was a little opposite for me, but the love is still there.
Hey, I love y'all.
Rita?
It's good that they, a lot of the new authors kind of go to the older ones, like, to get, you know, info, you know, try to see how to get themselves out there to the readers. So if they get them to kind of read or acknowledge that their work is good, that helps them. And then, like I was telling Nene earlier this last week, Facebook is your friend and your enemy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's good that it's so many millions of people on there and they can see that you're an author. But like me, I got a whole lot of friends, but they got friends and then, and somebody just come and say, oh, I just got a new book. Well, okay, they just can be like, oh, congratulations. But if they know someone like Wahida or Kawan or Nene or anybody, and they're like, this is a new kind of author. I give them, you know, prep for what they did. You all try them out. They have to go through different avenues. You just can't throw a book out there and just expect for somebody to just pick it up and read it because you said you wrote it. That doesn't really mean anything. I could write a 10-page book too and say that I wrote it and only my friends going to get it, but who else is going to go outside of my friends to get it? And a lot of people don't do word of mouth anymore. They just go by what they see on Facebook. And that's what I was saying about Facebook bullying. You know, you got these cults now that probably don't even read the book, but because that's their friend, they're going to give them 5 or 10 stars, and you got to get a lot of, I mean, does anybody work anymore? You got to afford to work and pay money to buy the book. So when you have time to read all these authors under one label and give them 5 stars, it's impossible unless that's your job. So that's not being fair to people that are really into reading and want to support people, new authors and old authors. If it's just people out there just saying, go buy the book, it's good, so-and-so wrote it. Okay, that doesn't mean anything. And then, like I said, you know, when do you have time to read? You on Facebook talking about love and hip-hop and everything else. When did you read the book? Saying that the book is good, and it's like people are hiring, I mean, getting new authors every other day. When did you have time to read their book? You're still writing, then you have somebody, and then when you get the book, it's a whole bunch of mistakes and no proofreading, and then you want us to support that? We're not going to keep spending our money on stuff like that. That's not fair.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm just saying, like, I believe that's why I'm happy that Amazon kind of created that review section where you get to create your own review to just, you know, browse a little bit to see what the comments are, see if it's something that you really want to read. But you'll never know until you actually just, I guess, flip through it and just see if it's interesting, if the first few chapters catch you. I still think word of mouth is the best marketing tool. For me, because that's the only way it's actually going to really get out there besides the promotion of Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever. You still got that word of mouth that's going to get it out there, in my opinion. Every form of marketing is good, though. I just think if it's really, really good, you'll hear about it. I know for me, as a loyal fan of Wahida's, and, like, I already knew how her work was and how that was going to be. And so any other author up under her, I knew was going to be nice. Because I know the type of work Wahida probably expects from any of her authors. If it ain't topping hers or equivalent to that, she's not going to sign you or put you out.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. It's a lot of different things. But yeah. I have to go, y'all. And okay. It was nice.
Yes, we definitely appreciate you.
No problem.
And come through anytime. Thank you so much.
I will. I'll hit you later, Nee.
All right, baby girl.
All right, bye.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Wow. Yeah, hats off. Tonight is special edition. We got the Beatles House taking over. You know, sharing with us what is real about the literature. You know, they are the ones who spend, I think, more time with the literature than we do. So we need to listen to, you know, the readers and hear what it is that they're asking for. We got Aaron Bebo, we got the wonderful Miss Leisha and Miss Tony. I am Nene Capri. We have the Kings in the building, Miss Rita King. We have Jess. We have Brandy, Stacey Hunt. We're they in here, you know, weighing in on these tough subjects. Aaron, go ahead, take us to the next level.
I just want to know how the readers feel about the author interaction online with each other. Any opinions on that?
It's
Is it good,
it's
bad?
It's horrible.
Some of it's good, some of it's terrible. I can't, it's unreal how they
speak
like
they do. It is, some of it's good and some of it's bad, and I'm just going to say it, I don't really care. I think for one, I'm not a fan of David Weaver's The Bankroll Squad. Because when one beef, they all beef. And I don't understand that. When one author goes for another author, they all come down on that one author. And it's just terrible.
Definitely them.
Got some cyberbullying
going on.
Oh, my God.
It's like when they leave, they say when they leave Bankroll Squad, it's like they have to, like, literally go down the line and erase all the fans, all the authors, everybody, because if not, they're going to come for them for leaving. Like, really? It just blows my mind.
It's like they got to find themselves. They don't know who they are once they get involved with the company. Like, you all for them, and you forget about us. Like, don't worry about us. You just all promoting this production, and I'm like, this publication, okay, well, who are you? You saying SBR and this is the David Weaver crew and all of that, but okay, who are you? Who are y'all? Do you want to introduce yourself to us? Do you want to converse with us? You don't say thank you. You don't, you know, leave any review or thank the readers for their review. You just sitting there just thinking that we're supposed to kiss your butt and buy your book. That's not how that works. That's not how we work. We definitely don't work that way. I don't know you. I don't make you my friend because you're an author. I want to get to know you, converse with you, but that doesn't even happen. You just added me to your list and say, look at all these people that's following me. I'm not following you. I'm trying to find out who you are, what you're talking about.
Right, and I just, like, I stopped liking the author when he, well, forget it, I was Cole Hart. He used to be one of my good authors until I seen him, like, the way they attacked Alicia Howard, I believe that's her name, I had an inbox on myself and asked her, like, are you okay? Like, Nene knows me. I always ask him, like, are you okay? Because, like, I see, like, what's going on. And they just came for her so bad, and I'm like, wow, you're attacking her talent, just everything. And then as a reader, it's like, but look at your company. So it turns me off from anybody who's even trying to come down from your company. If you with Bankroll Squad, I don't want to read it. I don't want no parts of it.
It's just, you know what, a lot of people just follow trends.
Oh.
I see a lot of trending going on in the community. Well, more so online, because I don't think that type of stuff affects real readers that are not into the play of playing around on social media. Like, readers that are not doing the social media thing at all, they ain't trying to meet no authors on social media or nothing, they're just really looking for books, then that's not going to affect them. But for the people that are real readers that are online, they risk the they might get contaminated because they may be there just to read books, but all this other stuff is going on.
Mm-hmm.
In the mix.
And
I'm
going to add that it's not publishing companies have, you know, more than one author, and it doesn't have to be, and I think it's across the board. Not every author, you know, from that particular publishing house is a bad author, or they are out of order in some of the things that they do or say on Facebook. I will say that it doesn't have to be just Bankroll. It could be a lot of other publishing companies where you do have some authors that are out of order on some of the things that they do and the way they say things. And it's like, even though it's Facebook, you are technically at work. You are working. And you have to remain professional at all times. I'm going to say, you know, there are some Bankroll authors that I love to read. There are some that I don't. You know, it depends on their pen. You know, what are you writing? There are some David Weaver books that I won't read because I don't like the way that particular book is written. But there are some of his books that I do like to read. You know, so it depends on what the author is bringing me. The extra stuff to me is just extra. Sometimes it's too much. It's too over the top. But that turns a lot of readers off.
you know, because they want to see a professional author at all times. And I think they forget sometimes that authors are human. They're human. They're just like everybody else. They have feelings. They have emotions. They have bad days. They have good days. And they're more so emotional because they got all that extra stuff in their head. They got characters talking. They got to think about this. They got to think about that. And sometimes I'm assuming, I'm not an author, but I'm saying it could be stressful for them. And sometimes just venting. Everybody wants to vent. If you look on Facebook, even relatives vent about work sometimes, you know. So I just think it's making more of an effort to be more professional. Because technically, because you write books, you're technically on the clock all the time, especially if your readers are on your page, because they're looking at you and they're watching you just like the authors are watching the readers. You know, the authors watch the readers, and it's just like, yeah, that reader has a little too much going on, and I kind of don't want to mix that.
Let me just
over
chime
here.
In on that real quick. Along with that, my thing is this, though. Don't have picks. And what I mean by that is if a reader and author, this goes for reader and author, if someone does something and you don't like it, and that's your position on it, if someone you like does the same thing, you need to hold that same position. Don't have picks. Don't say, oh, well, you know, I don't like him, or I don't know him, or I don't like her, or I don't know her. So when they did it, they didn't have the right to. But I know this person over here. And the only real difference is the fact that you may have read this person's books over here. So realistically, you don't know neither one of them. My thing is don't have picks. If you're going to be one way, always stand in that position. And I respect you as reader and author. But if I see you having picks, meaning it's okay for your favorite person to do it, but this and nobody else better not do it, I can't respect that.
And Aaron, weren't you the one that said, like, when there's those book thieves, that people should just stay out of it because you don't know what happened? You don't know what's going on.
Exactly. Readers don't know a lot of things. So something, especially when it's business, publishing business, when it's business, you may not be privy to the business information. You may just be privy to the fact of what they're telling you about this person, that why they don't like them. You may not even be privy to the business situation that they done totally messed up, and this person may be totally in the right. Sometimes you just have to stay out of things.
Are we talking about the fans beefing with the authors?
If the authors don't pull you in, like, hey, you was there. What happened? You might need to stay out of that because you don't know what happened. And it don't matter if it's your favorite person or somebody you just met.
So is that the fans beefing with the authors, or these, like, you talking about the fans getting involved?
I'm saying either way. I'm saying reader. I'm not even going to call them fans. I'm saying readers and supporters. Anybody, readers and supporters, if you read books, you have no real business intervening in a disagreement between two authors, no matter which way you think it's going, and no matter who you may be friends with or who you may like. You have no real, because you don't know what that dispute is, realistically. You don't know what that dispute is. That's just like if somebody runs a Walmart. I can't walk in there and tell them how the shifts are supposed to be set up because I'm a customer at Walmart. I don't work there. You know what I mean?
You
I don't
should.
Know Walmart.
Walmart sucks.
I'm just saying, like, people don't know what's going on, and they run out there on emotions, like, hey, this is my girl, or this is my guy, and they run and jump out there. And I'm gonna tell you what happens too with that. That's why I say don't have picks. Sometimes people will run out there and jump out there into something, and later on find out that they were totally wrong. And be so self-conscious about it, they'll continue being mad at the other person. They done jumped in somebody else's business, so they started hating this person. Now they find out later on, like, yo, wow, I was wrong about that. They're like, well, hey, I got to keep on hating this nigga over here because too late, I said something. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy. Like,
And I think it's so. And I think it's so wrong that, like, again, with the Bankroll Squad, if you say you don't like David Weaver's book or somebody else's book, everybody in that group is coming for you, and they're gonna come for you so hard. So you're going to want to leave the group. And I've spoken to so many people who would tell you, like, don't join that group, because if you disagree with anything pertaining to him, they are going to come for you, like, you, I mean, like, really, really bad. And I just feel like, how dare y'all as readers, fans, whatever, come for another reader for having an opinion? And then what makes me even more upset is when the authors do not intervene. They condone the bull. Seriously? So you're going to sit there and
happens,
let them talk to me
that
like
that?
That
happens a lot, though. That happens in
it
a
does.
Lot of different groups. I could, like, that happens a lot. So, like, if whatever's going on, at, if you feel it's wrong, when you see it over here, it's the same thing. Like, like you got to always be, you got to be, you can't have your picks. Like, I'm not saying, hey, I'm not even definitely, you know, standing up for the Bankroll Squad or nothing like that. Only thing I'm saying is don't have picks. You know what? Because another thing people do, people have picks that are easy picks, meaning that if somebody already has a bad reputation for anything, it'll be so easy. Like right now, if somebody tells you anything about the Bankroll Squad or David Weaver, you're already convinced no matter what it is. Because how you feel about
them
personally.
That's from a personal standpoint. Like, it's like, I mean,
that's not good.
Not that I had an opinion on it. It's just that you clouded my news feed with this. And he's not the only one. I've had an author who I say, okay, I don't agree with so-and-so. Well, that person's my loyal fan, so you're wrong. Like, wait, hold on, what? Yeah, you're wrong. That person's my loyal fan, not yours.
Yeah, see,
you're in
that's
the wrong.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
and it's like, really?
You can't have picks. Like, and I say this again, it's for reader and author. Like, as an author, too, like, I can't have picks. I got to call a ball, strike a strike. I can't be sitting around riding the fence on that. Like, you got to be honest with people.
You do.
People want to meet the honest you. People don't want to meet the person that you're portraying in this business. And that's why I say it's for author and reader. If you have to stand on your principle no matter who do it or no matter what it is, you can't have no picks. Because if you don't like something, you don't like it.
Wow.
It's never okay. Once you see it, it's never okay with you.
Awesome night. I'm so glad they came out. We got a few.
Yes, the readers definitely came out. We appreciate you. There's still a bunch of readers in the queue, too.
And all the readers, you know, I think you're coming out and, you know, get involved in the literature conversation. I thank you for coming out, you know, Rita. Keisha, we had Stacey here. I hope I'm not missing anybody. But we thank you for calling in, and, you know, the chat room we had on Facebook was jumping, the other chat room was jumping, and we're happy that we're able to interact with you all, and thank you so much, you know, for sacrificing and supporting us along our journey.
No problem. We know we love you.
Love you guys. Talk to y'all later.
Yes, we really appreciate y'all coming and letting us know what it is tonight.
Yes.
For real.
Bye, you guys.
Hi,
thank you for joining us.
Yes, but another thing I wanted to add before it was over is stop using Facebook as your promoting thing. Use another outlet to promote your book. All your readers aren't on Facebook, so don't sit there and be all day, you know, sending out, you know, posts about your book. Beat these streets. The people that you used to read, they was out in these streets. Get out here and find new people, new readers. You know, don't just sit behind a computer and just think that everybody's going to know who you are. Get out here and meet us. Like, next year, I hope to see a whole lot more new authors, old authors, paperbacks, so that we can get this thing going. We're getting small. If y'all notice, bookstores are closing down, or our center is getting as small as a household. You can barely find our books in the stores anymore. So I don't think that's fair. Y'all not going to make any money if nobody's going to buy the paperback. books and nobody knows you. So,
yes.
That's all I wanted to say.
Me and Nene, along with G Street, definitely got some big things planned, some events
Poole.
Where we're going to be
Poole.
Bringing Jason Poole, definitely big. Major shout out to Jason Poole, real good dude. He definitely be about his business. He out there meeting and greeting the readers from one coast to the next. He ready to get up and go. He about it. Like, for real.
He was
I respect
at Harlem
him
too.
A lot.
He was at the book fair, too. Yeah.
And his wife. Shout out to his wife, because she's a beautiful person.
Yes, beautiful people. Definitely shout to them. But we're going to be doing some things. We got some events coming up. That's going to be all centered around the readers and getting the readers closer to us. And, you know, we want to do some things. So definitely, you know, we about to turn it up like it used to be. We're going to try to make those bookstores get back open.
That's right. You know, drop that beat. Good night.
Good night, people. We're going to leave with a prayer again. People need to hear this.
Drop it, Aaron.
I wish I could.
You have trouble with dropping the beat?
I come to you hungry and tired. Give me food, let me sleep. I come to you weak. You give me strength, and that's deep. You call me a sheep, and lead me to green pastures. Only asking that I keep the focus in between the chapters. You give me the word, and only ask that I interpret. And give me the eyes, that I may recognize a serpent. You know I ain't perfect, but you'd like me to try. Unlike the devil who just wants me to lie till I die. Lord, why is it that I go through so much pain? All I saw was black. All I felt was rain. I come to you because it's you who knows. You showed me that everything was black because my eyes were closed. You gave me the light. And let me bask in your glory. So it was only right that when you asked for this story, I put it together to do our dogs some good. Our dogs being brothers and sisters in the hood. Plenty of times you sent help my way, but I hid. And I remember once you held me close, but I slid. There was something that I just had to see that you wanted me to see so I could be what you wanted me to be. And I think I've seen it, but I don't feel the same. Matter of fact, I know I've seen it. I can feel the change. And it's strange, almost got me beating down your door. But I've never known love like this before. It's a wonderful feeling to get away from the pain. And up under the ceiling, I get away from the rain. And the strain that I feel when I'm here is gone. I know real, so I wipe away the tears, son. And I almost lost faith when you took my man, Monty, Faso, and Dre's brother Dan. And I fear that what I'm saying won't be heard until I'm gone. But it's all good, because I really didn't expect to live long. So if it takes for me to suffer, for my brother to see the light, give me pain till I die. But please, Lord, treat him right.